All right, welcome to the Free Stretch post-draft edition here on Joe Bucks Fan. I am Bobby Fenton. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon as I record here on the back porch. It's April 29th, daytime on the back porch, which is a little hotter than I'm used to, but it's still pretty nice right now the past few days. And we've got a ton to get to on the show today. Now being a few days removed from the draft, and we have a chance to kind of digest everything that happened this past weekend. And today's show, you know, we'll go into a few different things. Obviously, the draft first round was the big story with the Bucks trading up a pick and the whole story behind that, getting Tristan Wirfs. Of course, they had a lot of things that went both good and bad for him in the later rounds. And overall, you know, time will tell how good things are. But as far as just the way things broke, the Buccaneers did what I thought were a couple of really good things. And overall, it's just been a really good month for the Buccaneer organization. I mean, if you go all the way back to 1 month ago, before we had seen the new uniforms, before the whole Tom Brady thing, all that, in 1 month's time, we've got nice, crisp, clean uniforms again. We've got Tom Brady. We've got Rob Gronkowski. And we've had a really solid draft. All in, again, just a few weeks' time. And the way that I'll bet you, much like me, are looking at the Buccaneer organization right now, the light in which you see this team, for me, it's completely different than a few weeks ago. And it's completely different than what I'd pretty much settled into with sort of an ennui, if you will, that has lasted almost a decade now of just kind of being like, the Bucs, hey, whatever, you know, we'll see. Maybe they'll be better this year. It's like night and day now. And a lot of that has happened, and I'm not saying it all happened in 1 month's time. Rome wasn't built in a day, and it wasn't built in a year either. But the rapid fire of all this news that has come in, kind of the fruits of all the things that have been building up to this, that's all happened in the last month, and it's damn exciting. And now more than ever, I'm like, we got to figure out a way to get this football season going, and obviously that's something we all want anyway, but I'm really excited now. I imagine you guys are too. We're going to get to all of it today here on the Free Stretch, which, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Go check them out. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. You can also go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You know, with everything going on right now, it's obviously a tough time for a lot of people. In other ways, though, it's a great time to buy a car, and Bill Curry is going to help you out. They're going to go 0% financing right now. You can defer the first three payments. They're going to make them for you. No payments through 2020, okay? So right now, that's, you don't have to worry about that. You can go take a look at things. If you like something, you can take it, and then things can get a little better, and we can get back on our normal, really regularly scheduled deal, if you will. And there's plenty of room at the spacious facility over there. They've been serving Tampa for almost 60 years in this spot, so you don't have to worry about social distancing or anything like that. It's you can easily do those things over there and that massive showroom and, of course, the lot outside. But again, go to the website and check that out if you want to first. You should do that first and just get a feel for things. It's, again, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, huge draft guy, and I guarantee you, and he's been on with Ira and the Joes a little bit too on their show, but I mean, you know, I know he had a lot of thoughts, and I did too, but I was really impressed with what the Bucks did. So let's talk about that, because before this draft, and you never know how it's going to go. I mean, you never ever know how it's going to go. But if you go back to our last show, I did a whole segment of that show on speculation that had been out there from GMs and scouts and some front office people that this year's draft was going to be one of the most unpredictable ever. And the reason they were saying that was because of the way we have all this stuff done virtually this year. No pro days for all these scouts to show up at, no visits, none of the things that we usually have, and not just chances to see players, but none of the chances for these scouts to see each other and hang out and talk. And they all do that, and all these guys, they stand in these little huddles at these pro days, and there kind of tends to be a group think, you know, because you can build a consensus on a guy. Does this other team like him? You know all that usually just based on being out there in the field with all these other scouts and GMs and assistant GMs and all that stuff. So this year, the whole thought was, hey, nobody has any idea how it's going to go this year because everybody's got all these different opinions and nobody's conferred with anybody. It's going to be crazy. People are going to go in spots you never thought they'd go in. So what actually happened in the draft? No draft goes according to script perfectly, but this was one of the most closely according to script that I can remember. Like, nothing surprising happened. Like, all the people went about where you thought they were, and it was like a status quo draft. So exactly the opposite of what we speculated on. Oh, guys could go really high that you never thought about. Guys could go really low that you thought would go really high. All BS. It ended up being very predictable. What was the first pick of that entire thing that you were like, you kind of raised an eyebrow, like, ooh. I mean, I think it was probably the Jordan Love thing, right? And that, to me, that was the first time, and it was late. If a lot of you may not have even stayed up that late, but for those of you that watched the whole first round, when the Packers traded up and took Jordan Love, so not only took Jordan Love, but traded up to get him, that's where I was like, huh. And that was whatever that was, 26 or something like that, or 20, I don't even remember. It was late 20s. And that was the first thing that was even remotely like a wow pick. And before that, everything was pretty standard. I wasn't surprised by much of it at all. So like I said, pretty much the opposite of what they had said going in. But it didn't matter, because all that mattered for us was what the Bucks were going to be able to do with that 14th pick. And so we talked all about how we needed to draft our starting right tackle in the first round. Of course, there were four of them. And I even suggested there might be five. I was really surprised how low Josh Jones went. But either way, and Josh Jones wasn't even the fifth one taken. There were a couple before him. Those top four guys who were in order ended up being Andrew Thomas from Georgia, who went to the Giants, then Jedrick Wills, who went to the Browns, and the Jets took Mekhi Becton, then we get Wirfs at 13. You know, those were the big four, and the thought was, will there be one of those left by the time we pick at 14? Well, Jason Light was worried there wasn't going to be, and as it turns out, you know, of course they traded up one spot with San Francisco to make sure they got Wirfs and make sure San Francisco didn't take him. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Peter King, in his Football Morning in America, I think it's called, his column that he writes for Pro Football Talk every Monday, it comes out, and he embeds every year with one team that usually he's able to find a team that lets him sit in their war room and kind of observe the whole draft process with them and then write about it afterward. So this year, just like everything else, everything was virtual. But he still found a team that let him log on virtually and see all the Zoom meetings and be basically, it's like he's sitting next to the GM, even though he wasn't literally in his house. And so that team this year, fortunately for us, was the Bucks. So Peter King did his whole write-up this past Monday morning, and it turns out the Bucks were very, very worried about the tackle they wanted, or any tackle at all, getting down to number 14. And so Jason Light, who had been talking with teams all week leading up to the draft about trading up, you know, once it was finally time to have the draft, was very actively seeking to trade up into the top 10, not just with the 49ers, but teams well above them. And several offers were on the table, and this is confirmed. Like, Peter King was sitting right there and put this out there. So, you know, early in the evening, again, no tackles went at first. Obviously, what was it, fourth or fifth, the Giants took Andrew Thomas. Okay, you know, that wasn't a big deal. Still three of them left. And then there was another few picks gone by, and nothing was really going on. It seemed like, hey, I think we're going to be okay. But there's what was called tackle teams and non-tackle teams, and Jason Light was worried about those tackle teams. So, of course, at the point of the Browns picking with the 10th pick of the draft, at that point, only one tackle had gone in the first nine. So after nine picks, we're sitting there, and there are now, at this point, four picks between us and number 14, and number 9 that's just happened, and we got three guys who we could deal with. So unless three tackles get taken in the next four picks, we're going to get our guy. It seemed like at that point there was not going to be anything to worry about. There wasn't going to be any reason to trade up or anything like that. And yet, number 10 and 11, both tackle teams, the Browns and the Jets. So the Browns did take Jedrick Wills at 10. The Bucks called them about a trade. And they also called the New York Jets at number 11, who ended up taking Becton. Neither of them were willing to trade. The Jets, according to Peter King, sounded amenable to the idea of a trade if Cleveland didn't take a tackle in front of them, because then they figured, well, we can go to 14 and still get a tackle. But once Wills went off the board, the Jets were worried that if they traded with the Bucs, who were going to take another tackle, then they might not get their guy at 14. So the Jets said no as well. The Bucs did offer the Jags, who did have the 9th pick. And again, at this point, only one tackle's been taken. But Jason Light was worried enough about it, with the Browns looking like they'd take a tackle and the Jets looking like they'd take a tackle, that he tried to go to number 9 and get their pick. And in exchange for that, we would have given up our 3rd and 4th rounder to move up. Bucks ended up giving up a 4th rounder, essentially, and they got a 7th back, but whatever. They essentially gave up a 4th rounder. It would have been a 3rd and a 4th if they had been able to deal with Jacksonville and move from 14 to 9. And instead, Jacksonville said no and took cornerback C.J. Henderson. I think Jacksonville probably could have gotten away with that pick. They could have gotten an extra 3rd and 4th from us. I think maybe still gotten Henderson. Maybe not, but I mean, they probably could have still gotten him, and then they would have had a king's ransom for it. But they didn't want to take any chances, so they said no to the Bucks. And the Bucks are probably better off for that, because, you know, at this point we know now they did get Wirfs, and they also didn't give up that extra 3rd round pick, which ended up being Keyshawn Vaughn. But anyway, so we get to 13. 49ers are on the clock. Here's where it got interesting, because we need a tackle. There's one left at this point after the Browns and Jets have done their thing. The Raiders, who the Bucks also talked to about trading, and the Raiders could have done it too because they wanted a receiver, and they took a guy who, I think Ruggs is a great pick, Henry Ruggs the 3rd from Alabama, but I also don't think he would have been gone at 14, so the Raiders probably could have made a move too. Jason Light offers them. This is to move up 2 spots from 14 to 12. Our 3rd round pick, instead of a 4th, which we ended up using with San Francisco, plus a 5th and a 6th. We would have given all 3 of those to Las Vegas in exchange for moving up a couple spots. Now, we would have traded 3rd round picks with them. We would have given them a 3rd and gotten their 3rd, plus a 5th and a 6th. So, essentially, would have given 2 picks, a 5th and a 6th, but kept our 4th, and we would have moved up to 12. Instead, the Raiders said no, they took Henry Ruggs the 3rd. So now here we are, San Francisco is on the clock. They're picking 1 pick ahead of us. 3 tackles are gone. And you might think now, and I thought this initially, you know, we can just sit here and let San Francisco do their thing, and we'll get our tackle. They're not going to take a tackle. Well, turns out Jason Light had intelligence. He had some recon that San Francisco tackle Joe Staley might be retiring, which ended up being true. Joe Staley has since retired. And he was worried that that might make the 49ers a tackle team where once they were believed not to be a tackle team. So he was freaking out. And again, he's under pressure. He's sitting in his family room or whatever room he's in at his house. And he's sitting here thinking, you know, oh my God, like what if these guys take Wirfs and we're just sitting here at 14 with our thumb up our ass the whole time. This is bad. Like we need to get this tackle. And so, just like, I don't know how many of you guys saw the movie Casino. It's a great movie. But in the movie Casino, there's a part at the end, and I'm not going to get into the whole plot line or anything like that, but toward the end, like these old mob bosses are running this whole scheme, you know, they're scheming a casino, blah, blah, blah. So, it ends up that the whole thing is about to get exposed. So, what do they do? Of course, they start whacking anybody who was associated with the whole thing just to make sure nobody can testify against them in court. So there's one guy left, and it's a guy they know and they like and they trust, and they're going around the room like debating whether or not to whack this one. The other ones they've already decided they're expendable, they're going to whack them for sure. But the guy, it's Andy Stones, the character. They go, what about Andy? You know, and all the minor mob guys are like, nah, he's a Marine. We can trust him. We've known this guy a long time. He's fine. He won't talk. I'm not worried about it. And go all around the room. They all agree he's fine. But then they get to the last guy, the boss, the king mob boss of the whole group. And he hears them all out. And then he just kind of shrugs his shoulders. And he just goes, eh, why take a chance? At least that's just how I feel. Like, you know, yeah, you're probably right. He probably isn't going to talk. But why take a chance? And just as casually as that, that's it. They decide to whack Andy, and he gets whacked a few minutes later in the movie. Again, if you've seen Casino, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, great, great thing for quarantine watching. If you have a chance to just go in front of your TV and fire that up, that is a phenomenal movie. But anyway, that's kind of, I think, where Jason Light was. I mean, San Francisco wanted Kinlaw all along, I think. And even with Staley retiring, they ended up trading for Trent Williams. I think San Francisco was going to take Kinlaw. We could have called their bluff and said, no, screw you all. I dare you to take a tackle. And they would have taken Kinlaw, and we would have still gotten our guy without losing a 4th-round pick. But you know what? It was too important. Why take a chance, basically? yeah, maybe they are bluffing us. Yeah, maybe we don't have to give up a fourth rounder. But I know right now I can seal the deal here with John Lynch, and I can guarantee myself the guy that we've been talking about all along. And at the end of the night, we're going to get our guy, and we're all going to be happy. Just do it, you know? At first, I was like, why did we do that? Like, why did we go up one spot for a team that's probably not going to take a tackle anyway? And, of course, there was also the possibility, well, maybe the Dolphins are behind us trying to trade up ahead of us, and the 49ers are going to deal with them. And they did take a tackle. It was Austin Jackson from USC. So all that stuff was possible, too. And nobody knows these things at the time, but pretty much what happened was San Francisco stayed tight-lipped about their intentions, didn't give anything away, and they essentially stoked the belief that it was possible that they might take what we wanted and said, hey, you know, you give us your fourth and we'll just, you can do it and we'll go back a spot. And hey, it's kind of like if I told you, you can have $100 right now, I'll just give you $100, or you can flip this coin and you can have 200 if you win and nothing if you lose. And yeah, I'd rather have 200 than 100, but I'd rather have 100 than nothing. And if I take the 100, I know I'm not going to lose sleep tonight, even if it turns out I would have won that coin toss anyway. So let me just take my $100 and be happy. And that's what the Bucks did. So the fourth round pick, yeah, you don't want to lose picks. But I totally get where Jason Light was coming from, and having three of those four tackles off the board gave the 49ers some leverage. If there had been two of them available, we wouldn't have cared if San Francisco took one. I mean, I'm sure the Bucks had their board of who was rated where, and they had their preferences. I think Worf's was probably pretty high. Even though we got the fourth one, I think we would have taken him over Becton for sure. And I don't know about Andrew Thomas and Jedrick Wills, but either way, it fell how it fell, and we make the deal with San Francisco, who moves up a spot, and they end up taking Kinlaw, who they probably would have taken anyway. We get Worf's. Fine. It's an obvious need. If you had told me, just me personally, before the draft, we're going to get a tackle, who you're rooting for, I would have been rooting for Worf's. Like, even if we were picking way up high, I would have wanted Worf. So either him or Andrew Thomas, I thought, were my two favorites, with Wills and Becton behind them. But this is all, you know, you ask 10 different scouts, you get 10 different permutations of those top four. So it was a really good situation the way it ended. I'm not upset. And if Worf's ends up being good, then no one's going to care or remember anything about the fourth round pick. And so, at the end of the day, I get your guy, and they got their guy. And they didn't give up. It's not like it was a second rounder or something. A fourth rounder, okay. And so, that's how it worked out. And, you know, they still, when you got down to the second round, and I was telling everybody about this all, not just all week or even all month, I've been saying this for a long time, don't get sucked into this running back thing. Everybody and their mother had their own personal mock drafts on Twitter, everywhere else. Okay, we're going to take our tackle in the first round. Definitely got to go the running back route in the second round because that's what we need. And no. Running backs are much too easy to acquire. We've been through this on the show already. You know all this if you listen to my show. You don't waste a high pick on them. One, they're not as important in the NFL as they used to be, and they're not that important to the overall end result of your team's season, win-loss-wise. And number two, the ones you get in the late rounds or in free agency often end up being just as good as the one you get in the high rounds. They produce at an almost equivalent rate. So don't use the capital on one up high when you can get one lower. So the Bucks come up in the second round. They have a chance. I mean, all those guys were there. Dobbins was there. Cam Akers was there. Edwards-Helaire was the one. He had gotten taken in the last pick of the first round by the Chiefs. But other than that, almost all the guys were there. Not Swift either. Swift had been taken, I think. But it doesn't matter. I didn't know. Resist the urge. I even tweeted it. I said, resist the urge, Bucks. Don't get sucked into this running back thing. Make a sound pick. You know, there was Grant Delpit at the time. He ended up going one pick in front of the Bucks. Or I said, any of these defensive backs. Or, you know, because here's the thing. People just acted, you know, because our secondary played a little bit better down the stretch last season. People started to act like, oh, we're good at secondary. It wasn't very long ago, namely earlier last season, when our secondary seemed like a gigantic gasoline can. And yeah, they played better down the stretch, absolutely, and they are better. I mean, it wasn't a fluke, but it also was against a lot less stringent competition toward the end of the season, number one. And number two, you still need as much help as you can there. I mean, to me, that was priority number one besides the tackle. Not running back, not third receiver. So I was hoping, very much that they'd go corner or safety or just something in the secondary. Keep beefing that up. Secondary, up front on defense, those are two things you can never go wrong with. And I don't care people say, oh, well, we've already spent so many picks on the secondary the past few years, not again. Hey, you don't ever make moves based on what you've already done. You make a move based on where you are and what the best way to proceed is. So you completely basically erase your memory. Like wherever you are at any point in time, it's like I said, Garmin. You know, those old Garmin, now we have Google Maps, but Garmin, every time you'd make a wrong turn and go against its advice, would it berate you? No, it would just recalculate from that point where you were, what's the next best thing to do now? And so it wouldn't say, oh, well, you already made two bad wrong turns. We're not going to turn right again. If a right turn's the right thing to do, then you do it. So, oh, we drafted too many DBs. No, I don't care. Do we need a DB or not? Yeah. And we get Antoine Winfield Jr., who, you know, it's easy to say, oh, his dad had a 14-year career, great pedigree. He's not huge at just under 5'10". I'll call him 5'10". I think it's wrong to call a guy, you know, 5'9 and 7'8 or whatever. But he's not, for what he needs to do and what he's good at, he's very, very good at it. His football sense is off the charts. His athleticism is off the charts. He's going to be a very good player for the Bucs, in my opinion. And again, nobody knows any of these things. But either way, even if he's not, you make that pick before going the running back route. And I was very pleased with Jason Light and very pleased with the Bucs organization that they showed the restraint, even knowing that they were going to get a running back later, to say, hey, you know, these guys we can get, these are flashy names. We don't need to do this right now. We can do this later on in the draft and to take a player that has more value, quite honestly. And, you know, like the old saying goes, and by old saying, I mean the new old saying as far as the old saying of the new age where we understand the value of different positions more. Your third cornerback or, you know, your nickel corner, one of your safeties, whatever it is, that guy is more important than your starting running back. As a helicopter flies overhead here at One Game Day Place. But it's true, like those depth positions in your secondary, or even especially a starting safety or whoever it is, that's a more important position than your starting running back, by far, okay? So I was glad to see the Bucs go that route, and then they addressed the running back after that with Kashawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt, who I remember busting off a long score against the Gators when they played Vanderbilt last season. And they even did it again with their second seventh-round pick with Raymond Calle from Louisiana Lafayette. So they get two running backs there, and you know what? The chances of either one of those guys being really good is just as good as it would have been if it was J.K. Dobbins or if it was Cam Akers or whoever. And I like those guys. Those guys are studs. But again, they're running backs, man. They're in abundance. They're not hard to get. And they're not going to affect your wins and losses as much as a lot of old school people think they will. So nice job there. Tyler Johnson at receiver in the fifth round from Minnesota. Khalil Davis, a little help up front, albeit later in the draft in the sixth round. Then along with Kale from Louisiana Lafayette, they get Chappelle Russell at linebacker in the seventh round. So hey, great job, Bucks. I'm clapping. Great month overall. I mean, again, nice new unis, Brady, Gronkowski, solid draft. Let's go. When's the schedule coming out? It's supposed to be early next week or early next month. So it could be next week or the week after. I'm pumped, dude. And again, nobody can possibly say how good or bad any of the players are going to be in a draft because we never know that. There's sure things that fall through. There's guys you don't think much of that end up being Hall of Famers and everything in between. But I like the process. See, there's results and there's process. We can't know the results right now, but I appreciated the Bucs' process in this draft. And it's just been a series of really sound, like, common sense decisions the Bucs have made in the past month. And quite honestly, we're not used to it in these parts of a long time. So it's good to see. And, you know, we haven't even talked about Gronkowski yet. I mean, which I have no problem with them going after Gronkowski. I think it's well worth. And that was another one where they gave up a pick for him. They gave up a fourth to New England to get a seventh back. But, you know, fourth-round picks, they can obviously be pretty hit or miss. There have been good players drafted in the fourth round. But just for the chance, I mean, Gronkowski's 31. That's, you know, on the other side of maybe prime Gronkowski, but it's hardly old. And he's coming off of being off for a year, so his body should be fresher than ever. and just for the chance of what could be, and knowing what that means to Brady, is worth the loss of that fourth round pick. So again, Gronkowski may do nothing. He may not be his old self, and he may end up being not much of an impact player for the Bucs. But that's a result. The process, I thought, was a good one. I thought the Bucs made a good decision. And it's just in life, you know, nobody's got a crystal ball. Nobody can foresee things in the future. You just have to have good reasons for doing things and have the right reasons for doing things. And I think the Bucs drafted that way. And I think, you know, again, you're acquiring. Same thing with Brady. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have moved on from Jameis Winston just for no reason. But they had a good reason, Tom Brady. Knowing how old Tom Brady is, knowing that it's possible he may decline rapidly, yes, it's possible, but I thought the chance was worth taking, and I thought what they did was the right thing. And like I said at the opening of the show, what do you think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now? Like, what's your enthusiasm meter at right now, here as we close out the month of April, compared to where it was as we began the month of March, you know, almost 2 months ago? I mean, it's, again, it's got to be through the roof, right? Like, I'm always just naturally excited for the next season, no matter how good or bad the Bucs are, and it's mostly been bad lately. But I'm extra, extra special, like, more excited right now. And I got a feeling that most of y'all are, too. So if you want to give me an email, or hit me up on Twitter, either way, my email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y. And on Twitter, same thing, bobbygameday there. Love hearing from you guys. Got a few emails. My good friend Chris has emailed the show, and even Paul. Always some good emailers there. Love hearing from all you guys, so feel free to fire them off anytime you want to. Oh, one other thing about the draft I forgot I wanted to say. Just kudos to the NFL. And, you know, I've ripped Roger Goodell plenty for various decisions here and there. Kudos to Roger Goodell and the NFL as a whole for doing this, okay? Because it wasn't very long ago that not just the draft, but people were saying, what are we doing going through with free agency? I can't believe we're doing this. This should be on hold right now. And there was no reason not to do it. Free agency doesn't involve massive crowds of people gathering, spreading a virus of any kind, okay? But some people just wanted everything to stop and just didn't want to do anything. And I thought it was important to go through with free agency, and they did. And the same with the draft, when it would have been easy to just say, oh, we're canceling the draft, we'll do it later. No. Hey, we needed this. How much fun was this past weekend? And the draft itself, the whole virtual thing, you know, it wasn't like, oh, well, we just make do with what we have to. It ended up, actually, I thought, being just as good, if not better, than the usual drafts. I have to admit, I do like when the commissioner announces a pick and you hear the crowd in whatever auditorium or whatever place they're in immediately react to the pick, whether it's a big cheer or when it's a surprise pick, all the groans or you hear everybody gasp. I did miss that a little bit. But having the cameras in everybody's houses, seeing Belichick with his dog up on the kitchen table, you know, seeing all the draftees sitting on the sofa with their families, I thought that was great. And everything moved just fine. The technical hiccups that were feared didn't really come to pass. There might have been a few minor ones, but everything was really fine. And it was, to me, it was a week ago before the draft started, I was still kind of down in the dumps about everything going on. And I don't mean that I'm, like, depressed. I just mean I didn't have a great outlook on everything. And to see the draft go off and see it all feel normal, now, just a week later, I'm like, hey, you know what? We're not that far off. And I'm not making any predictions about when actual sports will return or crowds or anything like that. But I just feel better about things after having that draft weekend than I did before. And again, maybe I'm pathetic and I need to get a life, but that's how I feel. So I'd like to personally thank the NFL for doing that. And I did go ahead and have my draft party this past Thursday. I know that, yeah, I mean, every year I've had this party where my friends come over to the house for the NFL draft. It's kind of our tradition. Obviously, the big Joe Bucks fan party didn't happen this year, but that's a much more massive gathering than mine. I figure with mine, and I wasn't going to do it originally, but I said, you know what? We need something to get excited about. Like, me and my buddies haven't gotten together in a long time. I haven't had any real fun, like, social stuff happen in a long time. Most of us haven't, right? So I said, you know what, let me go ahead and run cable out to my driveway. If I put the TV out there, we can have, you know, 8-10 people, not a huge thing. And I can space out the lawn chairs. I put the TV up on the porch so it was a little bit elevated. And I made a big draft board. Me and my son worked on it together with colored markers and stuff. It was great. I set up the mini helmets on the table in the order the teams were picking. And we did it. We ordered pizza and wings. We had it, I mean, at any given time, we never had more than 10, but I had some neighbors coming and going. So we had about, you know, 12 to 15 total people here at some point. And it was great. We were shooting hoops on my driveway basketball hoop. We were watching the draft. I mean, just a great get-together. It was probably my favorite draft party of all the years we've been doing this so far. And I think in coming years, even when things are back to normal, I might have the thing outside every season. I think it's just a fun thing to do. So I'm really glad the NFL did that. And, you know, just thinking about the way I feel about things in general now as compared to last week, and I don't want to, like, place too much emphasis on the NFL draft or anything. Like, I'm not trying to overstate this, but, like, I was bummed out the past few weeks just about the outlook of things. Not that we know. I'm not making any predictions, but I just had a much lower level of hope and enthusiasm about what's going to happen. And seeing any league, just somebody do something and have it go off smoothly and have it work. And I know it wasn't the same as live sports. I know it wasn't a crowd. I know we're still a long way from where we need to be. But a week later now from the NFL having done that, when a lot of people said they shouldn't, you know, there were a lot of people saying, don't have free agency, don't have the draft. And the NFL did both, and they were both great. And I feel better this week. Like this week, I'm like, hey, you know, we're getting there. Things are going to be better soon. And again, I don't know what's going to happen with football season or anything else, hockey playoffs, baseball, any of those things. But I know I feel better about the prospect of it now than I did a week ago. And just having something feel normal, having something happen on the calendar where it's supposed to. You know, this is one of my favorite weeks of the year is normally Kentucky Derby week. I love Derby Day. This is Derby week, but it's not going to happen. The NCAA tournament in March Madness didn't happen. Master Sunday is another one of my favorite days of the year. First full weekend in April, that didn't happen. But the last weekend in April is always the draft, and it came, and it happened, and now it's gone. And that's it felt good, felt like it should feel. So I was really happy about that, and I appreciate the NFL, and I appreciate Roger Goodell, you know, standing strong in the face of some criticism and saying, no, this is the right thing to do. And it was the right thing to do. And getting it done. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. One more thing I want to say on the show here. And it's one of those things that I could have saved to next week, but you know what? Let's just talk about it real quick right now. Because Jameis Winston has officially signed with the New Orleans Saints. Of course, we knew he was going somewhere, but until Monday, it wasn't official. Now he's inked the deal. And it's not a big deal. I mean, he's only going to be making around $1 million. There are some incentives on there that could get it higher than that, but it pales in comparison to the $21 million he made last year, and it certainly pales in comparison to the numbers that were being thrown around before free agency that, oh, is Jameis going to go for $30 million? Will he settle for $27 million? Well, you know, the market, and we don't know what the full market was, but what he ended up signing for is what it was. And there was a rumor out there, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it was reported that the Steelers made an offer that was even better than the Saints one. I shouldn't say even better because the Saints one wasn't huge, but apparently it's possible Pittsburgh offered more and Jameis just wanted to be in New Orleans and selected New Orleans. And if it is true, the Steelers were absolutely right to do that. I mean, there probably were more teams. You look at the Steelers who have an ancient Ben Roethlisberger. He's not as old as Tom Brady, but, you know, he's coming off of a season that he missed because of injury, a full season, and you don't really know what he's going to be like when he comes back. And then their backup quarterback situation is an absolute joke. Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges, I mean, watching both of those guys last year was frustrating for me. I'm not even a Steelers fan. It was just, I like knowing that all the quarterbacks in the league are, like, the best ones available. That's how you should feel watching any league that's supposed to be the top league in the world in any sport. So watching those two guys frustrated me because I know there's guys much better than them who weren't playing. But, yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston would have been a great fit for the Steelers and had a good chance of playing because Roethlisberger could very easily get hurt again. But anyway, with the Saints, listen, here's how I feel about the Saints. I'm not a big rivalry guy when it comes to pro sports. Some people are like, oh, the Saints. Listen, this isn't college football. You know, like, I'm a Gator fan. Georgia, that's a rival. Florida State, that's a rival. You know, Auburn and Alabama to each other, rivals. Ohio State, Michigan, those are rivals. Pro sports do. People try and tell you pro sports have rivalries. Pro sports is too corporate for that. It's not personal. You know, like people can play for one team and then play for another. And even amongst the fan base, like I don't care about the Saints. Like the Saints don't bother me at all. Like the there's to me, there's the Bucks and there's 31 other teams. And I don't care about the ones in our division any more or less. I care about it as so much as it affects the Bucks. Like I don't want the Saints to win because that could affect the Bucks. Like that part I care about. But on a personal level, like actual dislike, they're just other teams, just like all the other teams. I don't care about that. So Jameis went to the Saints. Fine. You know, we've had players go to other teams before. Now, with Jameis, I've admitted this on the show before. I'm a little more invested in his success than most ex-Bucks just because I have professed my belief that he'll be a good quarterback before, and if he ends up being good, it means I was right. So selfishly, you know, I'm probably going to follow him a little more closely and root for him a little more than I would have just some random player leaving the Bucks and going to just some random team. Now, I would never, I think you all know this if you know anything about me, I would never put anything personal like that or just being right ahead of the success of the Bucks. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are what I care about, not just above all else, but only. You know, it's not even, there's other things I care about less. I don't care about anything when it comes to the NFL besides the Bucks. The Bucks are my team, that's it. So, you know, the Saints play the Bucks twice a year. Jameis could come into a game conceivably against the Bucks, but even if it's any other games, whatever game the New Orleans Saints are playing, I want them to lose, just like I want the Falcons and the Panthers to lose because those are division teams. And I want the Bucks to win the division. But it doesn't go any further for me than that. And as far as Jameis goes, I think it's a good spot for him. Obviously, financially, it's not what he's going to have been used to, but he's got plenty of money. It doesn't matter. Having Drew Brees ahead of him, having Sean Payton and being a part of that, I think that's a good thing for him. And he could very well be taking the Teddy Bridgewater route where he could either be the Saints quarterback if Drew Brees retires or gets hurt or something, or go to another team in free agency next year. But it's I think he's their number two. If you look at, I mean, some people were saying, well, who's the number two? Is it Taysom Hill or is it Jameis Winston? Taysom Hill does a lot of things for that team, and he's a really fun football player to watch. But just purely as a quarterback, if the Saints thought of him that way, they probably would have treated him like a quarterback before this. I know a lot of teams have a guy they envision as the future of their football team running down covering punts, don't they? Right? Like, the Saints aren't the only team that does that, are they? And I know a lot of teams, when their number one quarterback gets hurt, they don't allow the number two quarterback to do anything more than run a couple of trick plays and throw, like, two passes in the five games that the quarterback is hurt. Remember how Drew Brees got hurt? And Taysom Hill, like, took over and led the team to a 5-0. Oh, wait, that was Teddy Bridgewater. They use Taysom Hill for gadget stuff. Like, they don't treat him like a quarterback because I don't think he is a quarterback. I don't think they see him as a quarterback. Doesn't mean he's not part of their plans, but, like, why would you even think he's a quarterback for them? He's covering punts. So I think Jameis is pretty clearly the number two. But again, it could depend on his performance in practice and things like that. Either way, it's easy to make jokes. Like, people I hear, oh, Jameis got cut down to size. He's lucky he even got 1 million. He's lucky the XFL isn't his next stop, blah, blah, blah. I'd hold off on that, folks. And yeah, it might not be this year. Drew Brees may stay completely squeaky clean and Jameis just gets some backup minutes here and there and that's it. Or Jameis could end up being a very important part of the 2020 Saints football team. I don't know, but the point is, it might be further down the road, but I still think he's going to be a good quarterback. And I think this move is a good kind of stopover, kind of way station for him. Whether that career continues with the Saints or anybody else, we don't know. The free agent class next year, when Jameis will be out there again, because this is only a one-year contract, it'll be more favorable to him. If you look at this past year, this was a tough class, because you had Tom Brady, obviously, who we got. You had Rivers, who goes on a one-year deal to the Colts. Bridgewater's now the starter for Carolina, but all those guys were out there. Next year, not even counting, I won't count Prescott, Mahomes, and Watson, because they should all re-up with their current teams, but who should be available in free agency as a quarterback next year looks a lot less competitive. Rivers again, but a year older, as he only has a one-year deal with the Colts. Andy Dalton, you know, we assume he'll go somewhere this year now that the Bengals have Burrow, but he's got 1 year remaining on his contract. Jacoby Brissett and Jameis will be a lot higher on the totem pole next year than he was this year. And so that could bode well for him too. But either way, you know, I'm not saying I hope Jameis wins a Super Bowl, because all I hope is the Bucs. I don't care about anybody winning a Super Bowl but the Bucs. We saw Doug Williams do it. We saw Steve Young do it. We saw Trent Dilfer do it. You know, I'm not saying I want Jameis to be the fourth, but I do wish him well. And so long as it does not come at the expense of the Bucs, yeah, I wish him success. And I think he still has a chance to find that. And again, is part of that rooted in me wanting to be right? Of course. I don't personally know Jameis Winston at all. I'm not like his buddy. A lot of it's just me having been in all these debates with you guys on this show or with my buddies who all rip him and think he's worthless. And me saying, he's actually pretty good in some ways and not as good in other. You know, there's a little I told you so to that, of course. And that goes both ways. He could just be out of the league in 3 or 4 years and then they can tell me they told me so. Either way, there's 31 teams, and then there's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's the one that's ours, and they had a really, really, really good month. Again, uniforms, Brady, Gronk, the draft, all common sense, all process-related, not just results-related, but sound decision-making, and it's a really exciting thing to see, and the 2020 football season now more than ever needs to get going. We're going to have coming up now, you know, now that we're through the whole free agency, combine, draft, all that stuff's behind us. We're getting into the part now where the schedule releases the next thing. That could be next week or the week after. It's not really for certain. We'll talk about that, but there'll be plenty more things to talk about. And, you know, hopefully things continue to improve little by little with the current situation, with the pandemic. And, you know, there's been plans thrown out there by baseball and some hockey stuff that came out this past week that lets you know they're at least ready to get some stuff going. There are plans being made. Again, that could just be nothing. You know, it may not be possible. But I like hearing that they're working on it. So keep a positive attitude, folks. Enjoy what's been beautiful weather lately, at least in the Bay Area. So I know a lot of you people listen from all over the place. No matter where you are, I appreciate the hell out of it. And I hope you're as excited as I am to be a fan of this football team now. We'll be back at it again for our next show. In the meantime, I want to thank the Joes, first of all, for giving me this platform, allowing me to be a part of the single best place anywhere on the internet for Tampa Bay Buccaneers coverage, and it's rapid fire. I mean, even in the time I've taken to do this show, 2 or 3 new articles have gone up on JoeBucksFan.com. It never stops 365 days a year. Keep hitting it. Keep refreshing it. Thanks to them. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, sponsor of the Free Stretch, and thanks to all of you for sticking with it. And you've been rewarded somewhat with what the Bucs have done in the past month, but the true reward will be when this team gets out on the football field again, and hopefully that is sooner rather than later. So in the meantime, again, stay safe. Use these opportunities to spend time with family, get some exercise, all the things that you've got more time to do now that you're at home. Watch Casino or whatever else. I'll be back again with our next show sometime either later this week or next week. I'll figure that out. But in the meantime, thanks to all of you. And again, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.